Hello, everyone. We're sitting here getting down to the Conway Twitty. All right, hang on. I gotta go turn on the light.
Lay it down and softly whisper your love words in your ear. Lay it down and tell me all the things the woman loves to hear. I'll let you know how much it means just having you around.
Now y'all know how I like to get down on my own. It is Conway Twitty, of course. I love Conway. This is my work jams playlist. It's got a little bit of everything on it. All right, we should always start with music. Just saying. So today's a little different. We've never done this. This was a brainchild of my own. Recently, I was sitting around thinking about what would most help everyone when it comes to, like, if there was a concept that we teach that we could dive deep in and really move the needle for people and really understand it and get, and I'm literally, realistic planning is, guys, the only reason why you're not doing it is because you're afraid of it or you've got some bullshit insert that excuse here. Like, it literally is such a game changer, and I'm just going to be honest, drives me crazy that you guys resist it so hard. So, we are going to tonight do office hours, which means that you're going to raise your hand, and I am going to call on you, and you have to be talking about realistic planning. There is no coaching on anything else tonight. So, if you are not all in on talking about a realistic plan, or let me go through your realistic plan or whatever, do not raise your hand. So if anybody has questions or if they want coaching on planning, now's the time. Go ahead and raise your hand, because if y'all don't, it might be a long night over here. All right. Tammy, you're up first. I know, she's so pretty. She's my little loud baby. She's going to like run around in the back and scream and holler. All right, Tammy.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I am.
All right. Let's do it. What are we talking about?
My biggest issue is where I've done the restricted eating some so much that it's hard to know what a realistic plan kind of is sometimes because I don't do it often enough. And then something comes up and then I just add stuff to the plan at the end because I didn't. You know, I don't really do it enough to know how to foresee what I really should add on. Should it just be, I look at what I've, like, write it down, what I've ate that wasn't on my plan the day before, and then add it later on in the week so it's yes. there?
Yes. Okay. So here's the thing about the realistic plan. For everybody that has, like, old-ass diet mentality coming along for the ride, you have two choices. You can just shut it down and make the process a lot easier. Mm-hmm. Just realize, like, I wouldn't be here if all that was working. That's right. What I always tell everyone. I'm like, you want to believe that stuff. Just because you think it doesn't mean you have to, like, go for it, right?
Right.
It just means it's coming in. But a lot of you, like, well, because I think it, I'm going to let it be a distraction, and then I'm going to blow my plans so I can feel like some bullshit and then slow my weight loss down. That's right. The reality of the situation. So what I would say is option one is just say, like, if I knew so much, I wouldn't be here. So I'm going to retire everything that I know, and I'm just going to do what this blonde chick says. Just going with that one. Or number two is doing, like you said, like, let me just start with what I really think is realistic. And if I'm finding that I'm not sticking to it, then you ask yourself a couple of questions. Am I just literally not wanting to do what I say I'm going to do, and I need to work on that a little bit more? Like, it's, you know, for some people, here's the thing. Your plan may actually be very realistic. Mm-hmm. But you're just so conditioned to wanting to do what you want to do in the moment. You need to break that habit. That'd be like saying, you know, I'm going to teach my toddler to just get everything they want in the moment.
Right.
Rather than, you know, setting a few parameters. It's not that they can't be themselves and scream and holler in the house, but, you know, if I say screaming and hollering is okay, that doesn't mean we go buy a bullhorn on top of it. You know, right. At some point we have to have like a cap. The other option is if like, if it's literally something like I just can't get a grip on it, then you just plan ultra realistic exactly where you're at. After a few days, you start getting it like, okay, it should, like, if you're going to go ultra realistic, it should feel as if it's all wrong. Like, it really should. If you're fighting it that hard, it should be like, there's no fucking way to lose weight eating like this.
Right.
And that is the point. Because okay. What you want is you want the, like, what's happening is you have your unconscious brain is the one who's eating what it wants in the moment.
Right.
You're letting it run wild. The unconscious brain cannot make decisions. Only the front part, the conscious brain, can make decisions. This one always runs on autopilot. And that's just the way it's always designed. It's not that something's wrong, just the way it happens. The right. front part, with the what, the realistic plan, what it does is like when you write it down and you commit to it, it means my conscious part of the brain is now being required to eat what's on the plan.
Right.
And the worst thing you can do is to plan idealistically versus realistically. Because once you do idealistically, your unconscious brain is like, let's just eat this over here. And you keep practicing letting that part make all the decisions. We want the conscious brain from now on to be making all food decisions. Every single one of them from now on, like till you die, the conscious brain needs to be making all food decisions.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
That includes the realistic ones.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Anything else?
Well, I mean, so like today I had on my plan coffee with creamer, berries in Greek yogurt. That was breakfast. I didn't eat till like 9:30 or so. And then lunch was broccoli salad, a small amount of broccoli salad, and then some chicken salad. I didn't have any like bread or anything with it. And then that was it. That was all I ate for that. And then I came home and I had two chicken tacos and like hard shells. And then was doing really good. And then grabbed ass a half of a Reese cup. So that's the things where I like was like.
Do you do that every day? Do you grab ass Reese cups every day? Or is this just you need to get better at not grab assing? There's a difference. Like for some girls, they're like they plan what you plan. Mm-hmm. And then they order pizza.
Oh no.
There's a difference between needing a real, I don't know if you need a realistic plan or if you just need to like get very conscious about your grab assing.
Okay.
So are you grab assing a lot?
When I look back at my week, I have around 2 to 3 overeats in a week.
And you've got every ounce of what you ate written down.
Yeah.
Okay, you need to add that shit up on one page and you need to process that at the end of the week. Like, look at, I would like do a recap, say, here's every little thing that I ate, half a Reese cup on this day, and like process all of it.
Okay.
And look at it in one big combination of things.
Right.
So that you can just be like, oh.
Yeah. Because the only thing I'm doing is looking, going, oh, 3 days. I did 3 days this week. So yeah. I can see everything that it was.
You need to see, this is the thing about, it's kind of like when we do models, when we do the circumstance, has to be really dialed in. You need to see what your actual circumstance is. Like, but I only had like a 3 grab asses this week. Why am I not losing weight? Like every time I make someone get specific and say like, send me all them food logs. Let's look at all that data. They're like, oh fuck. Now I know why I'm not losing weight.
Okay.
Because you get specific. And when you get specific, you get very aware. So at the end of the week, do a recap. Everything I ate this week in the exact amounts that was not on this plan, this is all of it. And then ask yourself, how can I get more aware in the moment? It might be you need to have your journal laid out. Where do you do all this grab assing typically?
It's usually at night.
Is there a specific place in the house, though, that you go to get the stuff?
The kitchen.
I'd have that planner laid out on the kitchen. With a page wide open that says, you know, Tammy's grab assing. And you have to write it down on that one piece of paper before you're allowed to put it in your mouth. Make that the first constraint. Like, you can have at it, But we don't do it unconsciously anymore. Like, I don't just grab it and go, oh, shit, what happened? It's yeah. like, no, well, like, put in a stop.
I'm getting better at hearing the little justifications. It used to be I just didn't hear anything, and I considered it like a foggy. But now I'm hearing, like, the little justifications, I guess, because I'm paying more attention. So, like, I heard, well, you didn't have anything last night. You should have put it on your plan. And then I half, and I was like, nope, I'm not eating this, and I threw it away.
Yeah, I would just make now get that piece of paper and just say, you know, half a Reese's and here's the shit I'm telling myself right now. Right. I guarantee you what happens is what most of you don't get when it comes to realistic plan and stuff is that when you get it conscious, it's like, I don't know if I really want to do this. Like it amps up the tension. What most of you will always tell me is say, I said, fuck it. And I ate. That's when you're like, come on, unconscious brain, let's do this. Because then you don't, like, your goals aren't considered. Your unconscious brain does not think about goals. It does not think about your emotions. It doesn't give a fuck about you. All it cares about is eating in the moment or doing whatever it wants to do in the moment. Your conscious brain is like writing it down. Like, do we really want to do this? Wasn't the other day? Weren't we like goal setting in this same book? You know, like it has a very different conversation going on with itself. That's why I keep telling you guys, like, you may not lose weight the first week or two doing it as you're getting used to it, but you won't have near as much fun overeating either. You start sucking the joy out of it. You start sucking the numb, like, you know, one of the reasons why so many of you overeat, feel relief, feel numb, quit thinking about stuff. And it's like, ah, now I gotta think about it. You know, you take away part of the pleasure of it.
Right.
So there you go. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If I eat a snack between 3 and 4 most days, I put the snack on my plan. But if I'm eating it not at a -2, does that mean it's an overeat? Yes. You only eat when you're hungry. Lisa, you're up next. Jane wants to know, are there any tips for losing the last 10 pounds? I never tell anyone to do anything different than what I tell you to do to lose the first 10 pounds of 100. The last 10 pounds are going to be exactly the same. If you're not losing weight, you're still overeating. Your last 10 pounds, a lot of you, what will happen, guys, if you want, come on live versus just asking questions in the Q&A, because I'm only going to be able to answer them every now and then. The big thing about the last 10 is that you have to think, okay, am I still determined and feeling willing and working on leveling up, or am I sitting around thinking, but I'm doing so much better than I ever have, or this shouldn't count, or, you know, like, I already eat so healthy. It's like, yeah, you get kudos for that. That first 90 pounds, cheers and bravo. The last 10 doesn't care how healthy you eat. You know what it says? If you're not losing 10 pounds, you still have something you need to work on. All right, Lisa, you're up. This is going to be like, you would have thought I drank coffee and I didn't even drink coffee.
Okay. I just started in April, and I guess my thing is I've been making my plans and I've been sticking to them, but I don't know. I am going like not really picking things that I would have normally eaten before I started. Okay. So I don't know if I need to change it up or if I just need to stick with what I'm doing, because I am doing it. But
are
I
you losing weight?
I am.
Don't change anything.
Okay.
Why would you want to change something if you're losing weight? Tell me why you're having drama around this.
I guess because in the past I've usually, like, I lose 20 or 30 pounds and I just stop. So I kind of am like, am I just going hardcore and then I'm going to stop?
Are you going hardcore? Do you call yourself hardcore right now?
I mean, it's not hard, so maybe not. Maybe I'm just putting a lot
of... hardcore means hard as part of the equation. So what describe what you're doing right now again.
Like, what are my plans?
Yeah. Or
like, what I'm eating. So usually I have yogurt and granola for breakfast, and then
how's that feel? Like, is that okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Could you see for your rest of your life having that?
Sure.
I mean, is there like some kind of like McDonald's trip you're like scheming around in the back of your mind you would like to take?
Not for breakfast.
Okay.
McDonald's is not the thing, but you know.
Okay. All right. So then then what you do
for lunch? It's like a salad, or I make little Lunchables with Triscuits and stuff. And then
that sounds good.
Yeah. And then, you know, dinner is just usually something like today we had like turkey meatballs and wheat spaghetti and I don't know. So it's just like that kind of stuff. So I know it's stuff that I know is healthier than what I normally would eat.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I didn't just skip past being realistic. Does that make sense?
It sounds like you're doing fine. Not everybody needs to start with, like, realistic means this is what I'm willing to commit to. It doesn't mean like, you know, this, when, and I want you to think about when I say, am I willing to commit to this? I'm going to commit because it feels right.
Okay.
Not I'm going to commit to this because I'm so fucking desperate to lose weight and miserable. I better do this and get my ass in gear. That's a big difference.
Right.
What I'm wanting you guys to do is figure out how to start doing this from a place of, yeah, like I could see myself doing this. Like I want you to be considering your future self, not sitting around feeling like an asshat and doing it. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Well, I feel good, so I need to stop worrying about it.
When you normally quit at 20 to 30 pounds, why do you quit?
Either like sometimes I've done a program and it's like a 6-week thing and then it's supposed to, you're supposed to keep doing it every 6 weeks. Well, I do it for 6 weeks and I'm like, okay, I'm tired of that. Or I don't know, just things in life change or I'm just kind of, I don't know exactly.
Okay, well, there's two things I want you to be on watching out for yourself on the horizon, okay?
Okay.
Number one, it's going to get boring. It's supposed to.
Right.
Don't be looking for this to be all balls out exciting and new and stuff. That, like, shininess, it's like getting a new car.
Right.
It's all fun and games until the first time it gets dirty or the new car smell goes away or whatever. But are you going to, if you trade it in every time that happens, you're going to be broke.
Right.
Just like us, if every time a diet is no longer exciting and we trade it in, we're going to be overweight. We cannot look for diets in our food to provide the entertainment and the excitement of our life. That's our life's job. Mm-hmm. And so when you get to module 4, we start talking about the fat girl thinking stuff. When we get into how we think, it's going to help clean a lot of that up for you.
And I've done the modeling. I mean, I've kind of blasted through all of that and I'm going back through it again.
Back through module 4 for sure.
Okay.
Okay. Because what you're talking about is literally module 4 stuff.
Okay.
The other thing you said was, it was the shiny new. Oh, and life happens. Mm. Life happening has nothing to do with weight loss.
Okay.
Like life happens. And then you have thoughts like, I need food to get through this.
Right.
This jacks up dieting. When life happens, I can't lose weight. That's the problem. It's not life. Mm-hmm. We got people in this tribe who's had cancer, lost loved ones, all kinds of stuff, and they're able to lose weight. So that's how we know it's our thinking, and it's not actually life happening that does it.
Gotcha.
And that'll be, again, module 4. So what I would do if I was you is I would go through and I would think, okay, the beliefs I currently have about continuing weight loss mm-hmm. and not quitting are I give up after a few weeks. I need excitement. And you're going to need to create the thoughts that you're going to need to start practicing now so okay. that those, when they come in, you'll automatically know what you want to think rather than just going back to what you normally think.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, that makes sense.
You sound like you're doing great, though.
Well, thank you.
Keep telling yourself, I'm doing great. I'm so glad it's boring. I don't need exciting diets.
True.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Mr. O'Neill. I'm just saying a dude. I promise there's going to be no dudes in this tribe. Mr. O'Neill needs to turn on your screen. Well, I'm glad you're not a dude. I was like, oh my God, some man is snuck up in on us.
That's funny. Hello.
Hello. What can I help you with?
Well, I was just writing down like notes. Every time I watch it, I write down notes. I didn't really have anything specific except that every time you say a realistic plan. I'm like, what do you think a realistic plan is? I'm like, I write down what I think is, and it sounds good to me. I know that I know what's not realistic in terms of what my goal is. So I guess I struggle with that part of it.
Oh my God, what do you mean? You're a goal person? Do you think she's sitting there going, oh my God, you better eat like an asshole right now? Like, you got to eat restricted and whatnot because I'm waiting on you. Or is she sitting there going, please be realistic, because your realistic changes as you get closer to your goal. If I can start off with a fucking half gallon of ice cream and lose 100 pounds, pretty sure most of you are going to do okay.
You know, this is the things when I hear those things, and I'm like, I never did that though. Obviously there's whatever I do isn't, I think my biggest problem has always been the weekends, but I don't have any of those glaring things that I see.
Well, so, you need to pick them out, because there are glaring things.
There are. You're
going to have to quit thinking there's not glaring things and say, there are things I do that for sure have got me here. Where are they? Let's find them. Rather than like, well, I don't do this and I don't do that.
I
never binge ate and I gained 100 pounds. I was never one of those. I was never somebody that would just sit and binge, ever. I love me some McDonald's.
I don't even like McDonald's.
What do you like? Tell me about this weekend you're having. I'm sure there's some shit in there.
There's some shit in there.
All right.
I think one of the big problems is that for the longest time, I used to go on this premise that one day a week you could do whatever you wanted. And then it started out to be a meal, and then it was like a couple meals, then it was like a whole day.
And yeah, a whole day can be 7,000 calories without even like looking up.
The other thing that I did all the time, which I didn't realize until I started doing this, one good thing that I did pick out was that I used to pick at stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, you know what I mean? But if you added it up in an entire day, the main error.
I used to have our tribe, this was way back in the day when we counted calories. Most of my people were beat down into weight loss and it was not sustainable. This is why we do thought work now. I would have them have a piece of paper, which all of you can do. You can have, like, I make everyone who is like BLTing their way, we call it bites, licks, and taste. That's just where you're grab-assing or snacking on things. I would have them all day long track it, and every single thing was worth 50 calories. Because an average grab ass is anywhere, and depending on what you grab ass with, is at least 50 calories. And back in the day when we were all like eating next to nothing, they were like grab assing carrots and counted it. And that was their 50 calories. Are you grab assing carrots like a banshee?
No.
What's a grab ass?
Oh, I don't even know, because since I started listening to you, I completely stopped doing it.
Oh, good. Are you losing weight?
It could be anything. If I was making my son a sandwich, having some of the lunch meat. If, you know, piece of cheese. You know what I mean? Like, just stupid stuff, mindless, stupid stuff.
So since you've cut that out and you've taken away your day of eating.
I'm starving. But I'm not, I mean, I'm fine. It's mentally starving, I think. But yeah, starving.
You're starving? Is that what you said?
I always think I'm hungry.
Are you physically hungry?
Sometimes.
Okay, tell me what your food is for the day, a typical day.
Usually every morning I eat with my son, I have 2 pieces of Ezekiel toast with a quarter of an avocado and an egg. Or yeah, that's usually what I have. Or I'll have a bar and an egg if I work early.
Okay. And then what's the next? And are you starving before the next meal?
I usually eat late too. I usually hold off till like 10 or 11.
But tell me when you're starving and what the meal before it was.
Most of the time I'm hungry before I eat dinner.
But are you starving? You said you're starving.
Yeah. Like your stomach's growling. So then when I eat a normal amount of food that I think that I've planned, I'm done, And, you know, either I'm still hungry while I'm eating or it's not soon after. And then I just sit there all night, you know, drinking my water and...
And your stomach's growling all night long. I'm trying to find out because there's some, this either could be hormones or you're just wanting to eat.
Well, it could be that too.
It's convincing you that you're hungry. Because if you're hungry while you're eating, we know that can't be happening.
I swear to God, it happens sometimes.
No, you're wanting food. If you're actually eating and you're in your meal and you're hungry during your meal, physically, it can't be happening. All the hormones are starting to work at that point.
Yeah.
That's an I want to keep eating hunger.
Okay. Because I do think I plan realistically. I plan things that I like. I don't plan. Well, the very first week I started, I did not put any sort of parameters. I just put food. And I gained 2 pounds. And I was like, okay. So
maybe I need a parameter.
I hadn't honed in on that too yet. And so then the next week I kind of gave myself a little more parameters and I lost 4.6.
Okay, good.
And then this week I lost 2.
Okay. So you're now stabilizing out.
Yeah. 1 or 2 pounds. I mean, I'm happy with. I don't care how long it takes.
Well, that's what you want to be doing though. If you're losing 1 to 2, you shouldn't be starving. The only reason I'm asking is because you could up some fats in your meals. Okay. Like that usually will help with that. If you're truly, because I don't want you starving. There's a difference. See, this is what I'm trying to get at. I'm not trying to shame you or anything. I'm trying to figure out, do you actually need more fat in your diet so that you're a little bit more satiated and you're not like just dropping into extreme hunger? Or do you need, I don't know where Mr. O'Neill went. Or... is this just, it's going to at some point level out as you get used to not grab-assing all the time? A lot of times what happens is when somebody is a constant picker, their body has been used to getting little hits of food all day long in little amounts all the time, and their body still wants that even though it doesn't need it. And it takes some time to unwind that to where it quits trying to send you not only... yeah, get out. Not allowed. Come to here. But it's where your mind and your stomach have to unwind the habit. So like for all of you, I want you to understand this. This is like a legit thing. Your stomach can get conditioned to eating on regular intervals if that's what you've been doing for a long time. So if you've been giving it little hits, it thinks, all right, well, now the habit is I send you a signal for hunger when you're not really hungry, but I know you're going to want to eat, so let me just cooperate with your wants, whims, and desires. Well, that doesn't help weight loss. So I bet you within another week or two, you're going to see that level off. If you don't add to lunch, whatever you're doing for your daily lunch, and add to your dinner, just a little fat, and that will probably wipe it out too.
Okay.
But you're doing good. No more free days on the weekend. We don't do free days.
The weekend is, I'm just got to figure that out. I had a lot of recovery worksheets this weekend.
You need to make a really realistic plan for your weekend. Your weekend plan. Everyone hear these words that are coming out of my mouth. Your weekend plan will rarely match your weekly plan unless you work 7 days a week. Your weekend plan needs to reflect your weekend. Your weekday plan should reflect your weekday. That is the way it works.
Hey, through Friday, I can own it. No problem.
You can own it on the weekend, too, if you plan realistically.
Hunger doesn't bother me in a sense, but it does. It doesn't. It's just like that mental game you play all night. Like, all right, just go to bed now because it's like, seriously.
Just keep telling yourself. I'm just thinking about food. I'm just thinking about food. Don't be fighting with it. Just say, I'm just going to sit here and think about food. And that will lower the temperature of it. If you're fighting it, your brain will just turn up the volume. If you just start saying, every single one of these things is a sentence running through my brain about food, your brain will start releasing that thought. Because it won't get anything from it. It's not going to get your anger. It's not going to get your frustration, your venom, and it's not going to get the food. It has no payoff for that neural pathway to continue to play. Your brain is ultra lazy. It does not want to keep thinking things that you're not going to respond to. If you quit eating at night, it stops asking for food because it's so lazy. It doesn't want to do that anymore. Most of us keep allowing it to have the same habit.
I like that. I like
it doesn't that. Take long for it to die either. All right?
All right. Well, thank
you. Good job. Bye. Tell that kid he can come in now. All right, Crystal. Oh, now I'm getting hot, y'all. Y'all have to be looking live. All right, how can I help you?
Okay, so I am a recovering keto eater. Had lost 40 pounds a couple years ago on it. Did real well, and then started eating all the carbs, started gaining all the weight. And now that I'm doing my realistic planning, I spent a week thinking, well, let me throw some, like, let's have an English muffin with my breakfast. Let's maybe have a sandwich. Let's do something like that. And I found out that it's extremely inflammatory for me, like painfully, like really bad water retention. So I've kind of cut that out. But my problem seems to be that I sit here and I think about what should I... Is it realistic for me to keep that stuff all cut out and like never have any of that ever again?
It totally can be. Like, I don't want any of you to think that I'm like all anti-keto or anti-no sugar, no flour or anything like that. I just don't want you guys picking those things for the wrong reasons. And what most of you do is you pick those plans out of desperation for weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're desperate for something, you're not aligned with being the best version of yourself.
Right.
You're just trying, it'd be like saying, I'm just desperate for some crack. It's the same thing. It's like, I'm going to pick doing crack because I'm desperate for it. It's like, no, let's not do that. But what I want you guys to be doing is like, if you're going to like, Kathy does no sugar, no flour for a reason. She can't hardly like get out of bed with her achy ass arthritis when she's eating it.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't even lose weight that way, but she came to, she was like, I'm going to try this. I'm so sick. She was like so sick and tired of her joints feeling like she was 80 when she was only like 50.
Yeah. That's I have
a really good reason to do it.
Yeah. I have crunchy knees. So that was one of the big indicators. Like if I, as soon as I added that in, I could hear my knees crunch when I walked down the stairs. And I'm like, this is no bueno. I can't do this.
Yeah. Well, and that is where you work on your mindset. Like you need to keep, like, this is what you'll have to do. So as you're doing, you're not having the flour and things like that. You'll need to remind yourself that this is not a bad thing. This is mm-hmm. not me being unfortunate. This is not me being like boo-hoo, everybody else gets to have it. This doesn't mean I'm not normal. This means I've chosen like my joints over pleasure in my mouth.
Right. Well, let me add another layer to this though, because then I also, just for kind of convenience and to reduce as much decision-making as I have to do, I've also decided, I've started doing for the last few weeks, I do intermittent fasting. So I'm only eating between 8 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon. And
why are you doing that?
It just makes it easier for me because my husband is on a completely different kind of diet. My kids are off and running and doing everything else. So it just makes life a lot easier for me to do it that way. And actually in the evenings, I'm not hungry. So, I mean, it works out. It's not inconvenient or anything like that. But my question...
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
My question about it though is I'm... Okay, so I was following your podcast since about the middle of February. I've lost to date 30 pounds since then. I'm an April baby. So it's obviously working, like 4 or 5 pounds a week. So whatever I'm doing is working. I guess my biggest fear, and it might be a stupid fear, but is that I'm not eating enough, but I'm not actually hungry. So it's not like I'm not following my hunger scale. I'm just legitimately not hungry.
It's fine if your body is eating away at your calories and stuff. I know a lot of people will be like, oh my God, your metabolism. That is not what happens. That is the most debunked science that ever existed. Your body is using the stored calories that you have in place, and that's why you're not getting hungry. Your body is now like the normal hunger signals that are coming in. It's getting its resources from your own body fat right now. As long as you keep really listening for hunger and you're not gaming the system, I don't mind everything that you're doing at all. Like, I really don't, because your reasoning, and I want everyone to hear this, because this is her reasoning is solid. It's like, this makes it a lot easier for me. I'm not even really hungry. Like, I'm really listening to my hunger scale. My joints are way more important than the pleasure in my mouth. That's when we know we're doing it right. What I see people do, though, is choose these things out of desperation to lose weight. And they want to do things against themselves. Like, I'm going to pick this plan because so-and-so is doing it and getting great results, and I'm going to make myself do it. And it's like you have to learn the skills of knowing what's best for you first. A lot of you may end up one day wanting to cut out sugar and flour because of diabetes or whatever. But in the beginning, I always tell people, start where you're at. If this is where you're at, go for it. I don't hear anything that jumps out to me that there's a problem.
Okay.
Unless you have something that you're like, well, I don't know, Corinne. I think this. Like, why did you gain that 40 pounds back? If you were doing keto and it was so great and you felt so great and your reasons were good, what was different between then and now?
Well, honestly, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I am, like, right now I've been doing one exception meal per week, and it usually involves pizza or donuts, you know, whatever. But I found that if I keep my consumption of like flour and sugar and stuff very minimal to like, you know, like one meal a week or whatever, I'm okay. But when I was doing keto, it wasn't like the high fat kind of keto. It was more moderate protein, lower fat, lower carbs. But I found it was, if I ate anything that had sugar or flour in it at that time, I got sick. So it got to the point where I'm like, can I do this the rest of my life? I don't want to do this the rest of my life. So it was basically, I was in boot camps at the time. They were keto-based boot camps. And when the last one I paid for ended, I was like, fuck it. I'm not doing this anymore, because I couldn't see myself doing it long-term.
So what is the difference between what you're doing now and then? What is going to make you be like, this is it, man. I love this. This is the way I'm doing it the rest of my life.
Well, I'm not, okay, so the way I was doing it before is if I wanted, I'm a big fan of nachos, love my nachos, and doing like true keto, you don't eat corn chips of any, like no tortilla chips, no corn chips, no, nothing like that, no corn, no grains of any sort. Yeah. This way, I've found that I can eat like corn products and it doesn't bother me. I can eat, you know, squash and it doesn't bother me, and higher carb vegetables and they don't bother me. So, and then plus with the exceptions, you know, the exception meals or the exception items, I found that I'm not afraid that, oh my God, the rest of my life is going to suck ass eating this way. So it's been a lot different. And my husband has even said he's noticed I'm a lot more mindful about what I'm eating and I'm not like freaking out about things. So,
okay. Well, this is what I asked. You sound like you're right on plan. I mean, or on target. You're listening. Like, I want everybody to hear the way she's talking, because whether or not you're doing keto or you're doing my stuff or whatever, the real key here is she's evaluating how she's feeling and she's prioritizing. She's not really prioritizing. If you notice, she's not prioritizing the weight. She's really prioritizing how she wants to feel in her body. And that is going to lead the way for the weight. When you really start doing what's best for you and listening and prioritizing how you want to be in this body, it's a lot easier to like commit. It's a lot easier to execute. It's a lot easier to find things that you'll be willing to do. So I always say, lose it in how you want to live it. She wants to live in a less achy body, clear-headed, very mindful about her food and stuff. I think you're doing fine.
Okay. Yeah, I was just afraid it was too easy and I was doing something wrong.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, you bring up a good point. The reason why it's too easy is because you're not being dramatic about it this time. Right?
Yeah.
You're not just like, you know, this says this rule and I have to follow it despite anything else. It's like, no, what you're doing this time is you're like, no, I'm experimenting. I'm listening to my body. All right, this works. This doesn't. I'm willing to do that. That's why it feels easy. Because you're doing it from a place of experimentation, curiosity, and willingness. You're not doing it from a place of fear, worry, desperation. That feels like shit and heavy. And when we try to lose weight that way, we crash and burn eventually. Eventually, you get the weight off. You're so tired of being desperate, and you're so tired of worrying, and you're so tired of being fearful, you eat. Right?
Yep.
There you go. Yep. All right.
Well, thank you, ma'am. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Megan, you're next. Pay attention.
Oh, I was like, oh my God, this is my first call. So thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
I'm an April baby, but I've been following since start of the year. My friend Sherry pulled me along for the ride and I love every moment of it. Well, most of the time there's lots of F words that I use. And right now I'm really struggling, not with my weight progress and everything, but the fact that I am, feeling pulled in many different ways. I am having a really hard time this semester focusing on my school. I'm a full-time hospice nurse, but then I'm working on my master's degree in nursing. It's a bridge program. And the first 6 months of my program, I fucking knocked it out of the park. I did 30 credits in 6 months and just worked my butt off. It's online program. But now this new term started in March 1st, and I am like snail. I'm comparing myself to my previous terms progress, but then at the same time I keep telling myself, you know, these are harder classes, it's stuff that I haven't learned yet. I'm in the process of learning it. Part of me is I have an ego that is quite large at times, and I take pride in knowing shit. And right now I'm going through stuff that I just don't know, and it's taking me a long time, and I'm having all kinds of judgments about it. And so,
and you need to shut your judgment down. Yeah. Is that going to help you go faster?
No, it's paralyzing me.
Okay. And, so why do you do it?
I don't know. I think, I don't know why I'm doing it.
I know why you're doing it. I know why you're doing it.
Well, tell me, help me here.
You're not managing your mind.
Okay.
You're letting your mind run away with you rather than you deciding on purpose. I don't compare myself to my past. This semester is unlike any other, and that's okay.
Okay.
This work will get done because I'm someone who gets the work done. Like you said, you have a big ego, right?
Oh, yeah.
How many times in the past have you just been like, ah, oh, fuck all this, I ain't doing it?
Well, I did that with my weight for a long time. I'm like,
wait, we're talking about school. Why do you compare that to the two?
No, it's apples to oranges. With my school, I've never said, oh, I'm not going to get this done. You know, it's always been every single experience I've had, it's come so naturally, actually. And so...
Oh, so this time it's not natural. You actually have to show up and do the work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's like, that is what you tell yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I've evolved so much. Now I get to really show how much I've evolved, which means I push through when it's hard. This happens to a lot of people where things naturally come easy to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they keep pushing themselves to be a better version of themselves. Eventually, you're going to hit the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hit the version of you that's like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
This is when it gets hard, and then you need to tell yourself this is also when it gets good.
Oh yeah.
Practiced all this time for this moment when I get to prove to myself everything I've been thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you got to do. Like, literally, you're going to have, like, when you're getting ready to prove to yourself that you're an even better version than you really believed you were, you're going to run up against the tension of the old version of you who it came easy. You identify as someone that this always came easy. And when it's hard, you're thinking, oh, something must be wrong, rather than, no, this is exactly what I need to be the next version of me. The even better version. We all do that.
Yeah.
And so I see it happen in weight loss a lot. Like, if people identify, like, this has happened already a couple times in here. People have an identity that they can't lose weight, and they come in here and they're making realistic plans and weight's coming off and everything. And all of a sudden their brain freaks out, like, something's wrong. I think it's too easy. I'm probably going to quit. Because the identity of being someone that it's hard to lose weight for, running up against the identity of the person who's doing it right this time, and you have to say, oh, wait, it's supposed to be hard right now because I've always jacked myself up and I'm not doing that this time.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Have a good day, Your Royal Highness.
Well, you transfer everything I just told you to your weight loss.
Yeah, totally.
Anybody who is successful in anything else can always be successful in weight loss if you just will find the parallel skills.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. We are rocking. Tammy. I probably should tell people I'm calling on them. Did I ever tell you guys about the time that I was on a Zoom call? I was on a group Zoom call, so it was like Brady Bunch style. This lady, no shit, forgot her camera was on, and she went to the bathroom, and she just stood there with her phone propped up and just, I was like, the person who's on the potty, you need to turn off your camera. This was back when we would have everybody, like, we were such a small tribe. We could all fit on one screen. Yeah, there's only 400 of us in here right now. I don't think we could all get on the screen. What are we doing, Tammy?
Okay, I'm January.
Yeah.
But didn't start doing it until, like, I listened to the podcast on the go. Everything was on the go. I was doing it in my head. Then I sat down, started doing it to paper in March. Been doing really well. 33 days straight. I've been doing my plans and assessments, and I do them first thing in the morning. But
yeah,
I've done a couple calls with Kathy. She's friggin' awesome. She's helped me, and then I've gone on my way and done some more work. But I can't seem to get past this. It's with the realistic. It's how long does it take to figure out what's realistic? Because the 33-day plan that I've done in a row and do it every morning, I've only eaten to plan 6 days. But I've lost weight too, not saying that's a good thing. So I'm trying to figure out what is realistic here. I train a lot, I work out a lot, but that's not where I'm stuffing up.
Where are you, like, when you're not following your plan, where is it and what's happening? Most often.
Usually lunch. And I thought it was about rewarding myself because I realized that I was starting to do that. Like, I was starting to go, oh, I've finished this assessment, or I've done this. So, oh, and I stopped drinking alcohol about almost 2 months ago.
Okay.
So I feel like maybe I'm going, well, that's all I've got left. Like, that's kind of coming into my head. Or maybe it's, and Kathy said, you don't do that. That's not a reward. A reward is you finish the day successfully.
Yeah, but you have to teach the brain that that's an actual reward is the thing.
No.
Oh, you're cutting in and out really bad. My question, though, is, like, what are you planning?
That's where it is. Like, even today, I've got something planned. Okay.
Okay, I think you're back. Let me ask you this. The last 2 days, did you follow your lunch plan or not?
I switched it for something else. No.
When you're, like, switching, what are you switching for? Something worse, something equal, something better?
Equal.
Okay, then I wouldn't worry about it too much. Here's two things you could do. If you want to be more conscious and deliberate, then what I would do is I would put two options on there. And you limit yourself to one of the options.
Okay. So, and I was kind of thinking, I'm moving forward. I'm making lots of mistakes, but I'm catching it. But I was thinking, is it because I'm doing my plans so early in the morning? Should I maybe switch it up and try it a different time?
Well, tell me what you had for the last time you switched your lunch. What did you have planned and what did you have?
Okay. Can I describe my book?
Yeah. I just got to tell you, I'm obsessed with all your sticky notes. I love whiteboards. I love sticky notes. You should see my house has three different big ass whiteboards. My dining room has one.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's all over my windows too. It's crazy. It's my office. Oh, thanks. Okay, so yesterday was.
God, your connection is rough.
Tuna sandwich. And I had chicken.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Say it one more time. You had tuna sandwich planned and you actually ate what?
Chicken, like a chicken parma.
Oh, you're totally breaking
salad, like a side salad.
Okay. So as long as they're equal, it's not that big a deal. And you're losing weight, so it's not that big a deal. The thing I want you
to...
Is like way in and out. So I'm going to go ahead and demote you. And then I'm just going to tell you what I think.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. So this brings up a really good point. One of the things that if you're making, I always have you track whether you're on plan or off plan, regardless if it's an equal switch and stuff, because what I want you to do is get really good at being honest with your data. It doesn't mean that something is actually wrong. So let's say that, you know, she has 30 days of plans or 33 days of plans. 6 days, she followed it to a T. The rest of them, she had off plan eats. That will trigger her to go back and look and see, all right, why am I off plan? If it's just simply because she's choosing a healthier option or an equally healthy option or whatever, I think that's fine, but you always continue to track it. So that if your weight loss stalls or if your weight loss goes somewhere, you can look at those changes and make sure you're not bullshitting yourself. So you'll always have it. The other thing that you can do is, one of the things that I think also is important is in these moments is either get to, if you're going to like really practice conscious, deliberate planning and never making decisions in the moment with food, plan two options. And then just pick one. If you're the kind of person who would like to have some variety, you want to set yourself up like that, then have two options, but you limit yourself to the two. Do not go to three or four. Otherwise, this is the way the brain works. Does not like a lot of choice. It will always default to the easiest thing when it's offered choice. So one of the things we want to do is limit choices as much as we can to make it easier on ourselves to be able to follow our plans, eat healthy, do the things that are going to get us to our goals and stuff. That's why, like, during the day, like when I'm working, I limit myself every day to very few things I'm going to accomplish. Now, if I finish that, I get to, like, look at it all and do whatever I want. But I really limit myself on choices so that I'm not sitting there going, I don't know what to do. I've got, like, 400 things on my to-do list. Knowing good well that I can't do 400 things. But I know if I put these things on my list, for sure I can get these done. And these are the most important things to get done. So plan your food the same way. I for sure can follow this plan. These are the most important things I could do for me. And that is what I'm going to do. So what I was going to say, though, is the other skill that you can practice is that if you notice you're doing that and you're like, well, I just want to be more deliberate. And I don't want to be like, I don't want to be changing my plans. I've noticed that I'm changing them all the time. This is not a habit I would like to have. Then this is your opportunity to really plan what you're going to say. Like, my best self said that they would eat this. My best self looked forward to having this. Because here's what happens. Your conscious brain, the part that's making the 24-hour plan and making all of the decisions, it totally has your back. That is the part of the brain that says, hey, we feel good. We like this. This is what we'll do. This will get us to our goals. It's like, yay. Like, we're all on the same page. The conscious brain is the one that like has a bad day and just wants to take it easy. So you need to like, that is what the realistic plan does, is it's like, take a look at where you're at now. If you're likely to be eating off plan every night, start planning that so that your conscious brain can make those decisions and can also in that moment consciously have to eat the Reese's, consciously have to eat the ice cream and stuff, because it will also bring up like, oh my gosh, I'm the conscious part of your brain. I care about your goals. I like think this is important. Don't you remember on Sunday when we were like gung-ho, we were losing weight this week? Your conscious brain gets a voice. Your unconscious brain is very loud. Without a plan, your conscious brain doesn't even stand a chance, rarely. That is why it's so important to plan this stuff. All right, Melissa. I'm going to take just a few more, guys, and then we're going to get off here because I don't want this to be like an all-nighter. All right, Melissa. But if y'all like this style, we could do this every now and then. I like this style. All right, what's your deal?
I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice, so.
Don't worry about it. I'm coughing all over everyone.
I didn't want to miss the opportunity. Okay, so I have a kind of specific problem.
Okay.
That I own a food business, and we're often, almost every day, developing new products. And so bites, licks, and tastes are like part of my job. And I often have to eat them when I'm not hungry. And so I don't really know how to realistically plan so that I can incorporate those. And I lost most of my weight. I lost 20 pounds with Weight Watchers.
Okay.
And
so what worked there that's not working here?
I used to count it. I would just say, okay, every taste is 2 points.
Okay.
And then it would add up and I would eat less, usually in the evening. So I don't know if that's what I need to do now, is like plan for less in the evening or skip lunch or.
If you know that you're going to have to, like, are you an R&D or something?
I own the business.
Okay. Is it food related though?
It's food. Like, for instance, this weekend, we were at a pie competition.
Okay.
So I had to taste pies all week.
Okay.
And it creates a lot of fear in me and a lot of feeling that it's out of control and I'll never be able to, like, lose weight.
No, that's not true. There is go to Food Network. Watch Giada. Watch some of those people. Like, thin as a rail, no problems.
Yeah.
How we know that you can be around food, and there's plenty of thin chefs who taste food all the time. What they don't do, though, is go home exhausted and worried they can't lose weight and say, fuck it, and eat something.
I do that.
Yeah, that's the problem. It is not your job. It's so funny how we're like, no, it's got to be the job. It's got to be because I got to taste all these pies, and I know I'm going to be tasting the pies. I could totally remember all that. It's the, I go home so scared I can never lose weight, and I just like, fuck this. I'm just going to eat.
Well, right? And I'm a little bitter about it. Like, I want to be able to come home and eat my dinner, and yeah.
Yeah, but you like your paycheck?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, you like owning the business?
I do.
Yeah, that's when you tell yourself, like, I trade coming home at night and eating a dinner for being an entrepreneur and a woman kicking ass. Like, that's what I trade all the time.
Yeah.
So I'd like to be one of those people that just goes out and has drinks every night and stuff. But I also have to be on camera all the time. Yeah. Looking like an alcoholic is not good for the bottom line. Not this one, nor the financial one. So I like show up and just be a boss and just be like, you know, I run a weight loss company. I can't just be a free baller. And I don't want to be one because of that. So it's like, get your reasoning right. Like, you need to like listen to that sob story you're telling yourself at night to eat dinner. Is that dinner ever going to be more important than owning your own business and being your own boss?
No.
That is what you tell yourself at night.
Okay. So on my plan, do you think I should try to write, you know, afternoon, we're going to be tasting things.
Yeah. Yeah. I would just like seriously just write something like that down. Just to be like, you know, today it's pies, whatever it's going to be. Like, I would just try to be as specific as you can. Like, you know, if you know you're going to be tasting pies, today is the day we taste pies. You know, I'm going to taste as little as I need in order to get it done. And then if I'm hungry when I go home, I'll have dinner. If I'm not hungry, I will delight in being an entrepreneur. A lot of it, though, it's like the reason why you're wanting to eat is because you're probably not spending near enough time creating a delightful version of yourself. A lot of times we want to eat to relieve ourselves of all the burdenous bullshit thoughts that we have about our job, the way we show up as a person, all this stuff. Like, when you allow, like, most of us, if we download what our general thoughts are for the day, we have so many just running on tape that are not great. They're not terrible, but they're not exciting. They're not delightful. They're not luscious. They're not delicious thoughts about ourselves, about what we're doing for the world, or any of that. And when it's just kind of like, ho-hum, I got work to do today. Man, I wish today wasn't pie day. I mean, when it's that, you do come home tired looking for relief because your life, you're not telling a creative, exciting, amazing story about it. You're telling a Groundhog Day story.
No, it is. It's full of criticism. So when I come home, I have a mental fit about not eating at night. It's really hard for me to go to bed without dinner. I did it once since I started, and it was fine.
The other thing you can do for now, plan a dinner, a small one, just something. Just be like, okay, I'm going to consciously eat a dinner. Until I get to the point to where dinner is not near as important. It's just coming home and just being with myself. Most of us are eating at night because we don't want to be with ourselves. If you like when you said you have a, like if you're like basically you're married to someone. We're all married to ourselves. Most of us don't want to stay married to assholes. We just divorce them. You can't divorce yourself unless you eat or drink or do drugs. That's how you put the divorce up. And that's what we end up doing. So it's like, work on your self-criticism at night rather than eating to escape yourself. Start getting to know yourself in a whole different way.
Okay. I can work on that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Ina? There we go. I'm going to take two more, guys.
Hey, Corinne, it's Ina.
Ina, oh my God, what is with everybody in whiteboards and post-its and big flip charts? I'm just like, ah, my people have arrived.
That's right. It's the best thing. That's actually moving. We're looking to be moving somewhere warmer. So those are city lists.
Oh my God, you're so good. Like, oh, Kathy can tell you. I'm a huge flip chart fan, man, like flip charts, whiteboard, you name it.
Well, you know, it gets it out of your head, right?
Yes. What can I help you with?
So talking about realistic plans, right? So I'm January baby.
Okay.
I am on day 114 of plans. So like on the one hand, I think I'm doing really well.
Okay.
On the other hand, I'm down about 11 or so pounds since January, which like is fine.
Yeah.
Right. So my struggle, and I have like 150 pounds to lose. So there's this thing where it should be piece of cake at first. And no. Then there's a realistic plan.
It's not a piece of cake to lose weight. I don't care how much you weigh, but why has it only been 11? Why is it not more? That's my question.
Yeah. So because I've been trying to keep it realistic, there's a lot of junk on.
Okay. Are you following that though? Is that like, it's very realistic, Corinne. I got 111 of them and like, does it say 111?
14.
114. So we got 114 of these. How many of them have you followed?
So I followed many of them. I have like all the chart. I love the charts. So that's like my...
Man.
Monthly tracker.
Spirit animal over there.
all the things. so I'm not always on plan. When I'm off plan, I try to make it more realistic the next day.
Okay.
Kind of how I've been working it. And I find that I think there's probably a lot of mental stuff going on.
It's always mental. Just yeah. Everybody, let's just say it collectively. My weight is always mental. My overeats is always mental. It's always because you're thinking. Nobody is like, I've had yet the person to get on a call and say, I'll tell you why I'm overweight. I've been like trapped in a basement and some guy has been shoving food down my throat for like 3 months. You got to help me, Corinne.
Right. Totally. That's like, exactly. How did you know?
Right. That's called torture. Let's, you know, it's always yeah. something you're thinking. So when you like, if you had to take a guess, what is one significant change that you could make that would help you lose weight? Like, let's say, what are we in? April? Yeah. Like you would lose 10 pounds next month.
Hmm. Well, the first thing that comes to mind is like cut out everything with sugar, but that is not.
No, that's not like, when I say easy, that's not the easy one. I said it has to be easy.
Easy.
What's the easiest way to lose 10 pounds next month for you?
Hmm. There's a block to me that says I can't possibly know what I'm going to lose. It's completely out of my control.
No, it's totally in your control. What you lose, what you haven't lost has been in your control too.
Yeah, right, right, right.
Your result line is always in your control. Mm-hmm. It's either going to be weight loss or no weight loss.
Yeah. Well, probably working more to dial in on my two.
Which side?
The plus side. The plus side.
Okay. So will that be easy?
Ish. I mean, I think it'll bring up more mental crap, right? But that's...
So what's the mental crap? So we're going to, next month,
yeah,
we're going to be eating to a two. Hmm. Like, right. Like, I picked the wrong one. We're going to eat to a two all next month. Yeah. We're just, we're committing to a two.
I don't know if it's going to be easy, but it's within the realm of doable, I think.
Yeah. So what's going to come up for you though? What is something that's on your realistic plan that you tend to eat past a two?
Nuts. Like I use nuts to snack on. And then anytime I put sweets on, I'll have them kind of regardless of hunger. It's like, well, it's on my plan. Like I'm allowed to have it. It's okay.
No, that's not part of the plan. What is the plan, right? Let's get your plan dialed in. I think you need to not worry about the two. I think you need to go to starting when you're actually hungry. What does that bring up? If you have to like legit wait till you're truly hungry
yeah.
to start eating.
That feels easier because I've actually been working on that. I've okay. been really getting more aware of that.
Okay. All right. So this month then, no eating until you're actually hungry. No matter how bad you want it.
Okay. I can do that.
And that's the thing. The other thing I do about the snacks with the nuts, are you pre-bagging them or are you just like getting a little bit out of a can?
Yeah, it's a little out of the bag.
Okay. Here's your next big tip. Whatever nuts you've got, go get you some snack bags, mm-hmm. quarter cup them.
Yeah.
And do not grab more than one bag at a time.
Right.
All right. This is like such a hack, guys. Like seriously, it's one of my best hacks ever.
Hmm.
Every time you have to go get more, like it's very easy to unconsciously sit with a can of nuts and eat. Oh, I mean, nuts. They're so healthy. I mean, oh my God, omega-3s, guys. We're all in, right? And the next thing we know, we've ate like 1,000 calories of nuts. You don't even know you've done it. And most of you won't even feel full for at least for an hour.
Hmm.
Because they're easy. So what yeah. I did was I always portioned my nuts. And I did it when I went to the grocery store. I'd come home. Nuts can't go in the pantry until nuts were pre-bagged.
Hmm.
And then I could have one bag at a time. If I wanted to walk my happy ass back in there and get another bag, I could, but it would give me enough time to have to make the conscious decision
right.
to go get it. And then my conscious part of me was like, do we really want to do this? Like, we have all these goals. Don't you remember that coaching call you did with Corinne? Like, oh my God, like that part comes up.
Right.
You got to tune in the conscious thing. So what I would like you to do is I want you to look at where can you just put in some conscious triggers?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and let the chips fall where they may, but no more like my brain and my unconscious brain is deciding. So like when you're yeah. eating, like when you're, if you're going to work on your twos,
mm-hmm.
so we're going to wait till we're hungry.
Yep.
Make some agreements. Like, do you ever eat in front of TV?
Yep.
All right. How about we just like say, I can turn the TV on when I'm done eating.
Hmm.
Yep. I think that's going to be a big one for me as well.
So just pick like week one, let's bag the nuts. Week two, now we're going to work on, all right, no eating with that. I can turn my TV on once I'm done eating. It's not as fun to eat without the TV.
Right, of course, yeah. Okay, so the idea is to take like one of those things like once a week and kind of.
Yeah, just start slowly plugging in some things. Guys, the more you start looking at ways that you can have your conscious brain working, it's like it will direct you. You have to turn it on. And most of us, what we're doing is we're like, well, like, you know, I do this or I do that, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, you got to figure out a way to turn on your conscious brain. Like, I don't eat with my phone.
Mm-hmm.
No eating with this. This is not a good lunch partner. It's like, because for me, I can eat while watching TV and not overeat. Mm-hmm. This, I can sit and eat and scroll, you know, like a zombie with this thing and just keep putting it in. Yeah. So I just say like, no more eating with this guy. I know that this is one of my triggers for overeating.
Hmm. Yeah. I think part of me is like, I go in and out of dirty diaper of like, well, I'm making really like, I'm doing all the things, right? Like I can list all the things, but then there's these pieces that are,
yeah, it's like getting the most of it done and then plugging in the little pieces that need to get done. Like, you know, I got to wait till I'm truly hungry.
Okay.
Like I can't
just
because it, like if it's on the plan, that means I get to have it. But here's what I want everybody to understand. When it's on the plan, if you're not hungry for it, you don't get to have it.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, oh, well, I'm glad I planned for that. I gave myself the option. We don't talk ourselves into eating things just because it's on the plan.
Yeah, and I've been sort of going through this whole, you know, how do you get to that point of not wanting to put the bad, the less healthy things on the plan, right?
Eventually, I guess, what happens is when you follow this long enough and you start getting results and you start following through with yourself and you start thinking of ways to be the best version of you, mm-hmm. eventually you start liking yourself so much you don't need this food and TV and stuff in order to distract yourself from you. You start liking the version of you that's like, oh, wow. Like, I like challenging myself a little bit. Who knew? I like being the version of me that does what she says she will do for herself. That's awesome.
That's amazing. Like, when you say, I like challenging myself, to me, that's like, what? Like, what? But I, like, at least I get it intellectually now, but that could happen. Wow.
You like challenging yourself when you get good at rising to the challenge.
Yeah. No, I get it.
And most of you set the challenge bar so damn high that you're never going to reach it. It's like, I'm going from being someone who just learned how to walk to a pole vaulter. It's like, I think there's a few steps in between, you know?
Right. And then like, that's never going to happen. And oh my God. Yeah.
Let's just get used to crawling over the tumbler first.
All right. Got it. So week by week, no eating before minus two, regardless of what it is. And then I'll bag all the trigger foods and no distracted TV eating. And I put a star by turn on conscious brain.
Yeah. And don't call them trigger foods anymore. Just say, these are the foods that I have been known to mindlessly eat And now I'm going to consciously portion them out so that I have to make myself get up and make a conscious decision to have more. Mm-hmm. It's all about that consciousness. All right, lady. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye. Somebody said, what do you do if your husband insists on watching TV while you guys eat? You have two options. Go to another room and eat. I have one of my clients says that she said to her husband, she was like, hey, I really need to like get a grip on being able to eat when I'm present. And the TV is a huge distraction. Either can we turn the TV off or do you care if I just eat in another room for a few weeks while I get used to this? It doesn't mean it's a life like, oh my God, now I'm eating in another room for the rest of my life. No, this is not like some kind of like torture chamber. It's like a temporary thing in order for you to get conscious. The other option is you sit there and you don't watch the TV while he does. He does not know if you're looking at your food or if you're looking at the television. It will be excruciatingly painful, but that's the other option. If you don't want to have a conversation with your, at some point you have to choose you and your goals over like whining about it being hard or finding all of your obstacles, right? So I always like to just be like, all right, if I don't want to talk to him and I don't want to do this, well, I can always sit here and just look at my food, talk to him, but I don't have to watch the TV. You don't have to pay attention to it. I mean, how many times has like your husband been watching some bullshit you didn't like anyway and you weren't paying attention anyway? So it's not like it's impossible. It can happen. Last person. Let's see. I'm going to go with... Y'all have some clever names. Let me go with Emily Louise Ryder, because she's been up for a long time. Well, hello, my friend. Let me unmute you. How are you, Missy?
Hi, can you see me? I'm outside.
Well, you're a little hazy, but it's okay. Hello.
No, I can go inside.
No, you're fine. Well, right where you're at right now is good light. It's when you have that light behind your head is the problem. Face the light, and then you look beautiful. Always face the light, and you look good. Just know that.
Like the blonde beauty you are. Okay, so, you know, I've been to a couple camps. Mm-hmm. I've actually been doing my 24-hour plan. I've been keeping it real.
Good.
And I feel so good. Like, that's what I kind of want to tell the newbies, that I fought that so hard. And I feel so good.
Yeah.
Like I woke up the other day and I said, I stuck to my plan yesterday. And it wasn't even something phenomenal. And it makes you feel good. So what I'm kind of struggling with is I have insulin resistance. I'm on medication. And I have not been losing weight.
Okay.
And I do know the carbohydrates are a problem, like the processed carbs are a problem.
Yes.
When I first joined the tribe, I had gone through a nutrition program for insulin resistance, and it was really similar to a lot of what you teach. We did the hunger scale, but we did a lot of like less processed.
Yes.
And I was doing really well with that because it helped with the cravings, and I was losing weight for the first time in years. And it's when I found your podcast and I kind of combine those two things together. And then I feel like sometimes I've fallen back into this thing where I feel like I need to be so clean with my eating and eat only foods that God made to lose weight. And so I feel like that's when I'm doing the unrealistic planning. And I am using that as a justification, maybe, but I feel like there's some truth to it. So what I want to do is like mentally be able to look at it like, this is not something restrictive. This is something that I need. Like how Kathy does no sugar, no flour because she has arthritis, or, mm-hmm. you know, people have diseases and they're like, I have to be keto for this.
Yeah.
Because what I need to do is not that restrictive.
The problem is that you think you're feeling restricted.
Yes.
Restriction is an action. Like, whatever your diet is going to be, like whether it's going to be no process or whatever, that's where it belongs in the model. The feeling is probably deprived.
Yes.
A lot of people, like I restrict myself from smoking all day, every day. I don't like smoking, so I don't do it. And I'm restricted from ever buying a pack of cigarettes, but I don't feel bad about it. I restrict myself from yelling at Chris when he pisses me off. As much as I want to yell, I restrict myself from doing it. I don't feel deprived because I'm not yelling. I feel good that I'm not doing it because that's not the wife I want to be. Like, I want to be someone who can control their emotions, who doesn't need that. So a lot of times what you guys have to remember is that you're all going to restrict on some level. Whether you do no sugar, no flour, or you do the hunger scale, you're going to restrict yourself just like the last caller. We're restricting from eating when we're not hungry. So it's like really understanding what's happening. You're having thoughts, though, that are driving, probably feeling deprived.
Yes.
Or unfair. Or what is coming up for you? Like, what is it that, like, what do you think? Like, I'm the kind of person who can no longer eat processed carbs. And this is the thing. You are insulin resistant. Your body is showing you, I can't lose weight on processed carbs. I also can't produce insulin like a normal person when you're eating like this. This just is not going to happen. So either take drugs and be overweight, or take drugs, cut some foods out, lose some weight, and maybe get rid of the drugs. But your body is saying, here's your two options. Which one do you want?
I mean, I'm the exact same age as you, and I'm on 5 medications, and I'm like, this is some BS. I hate it.
You know? You're restricting yourself from being someone who doesn't have to take drugs to live. That's a restriction too. You're depriving yourself from the life you want.
Yeah.
All for process, like an English muffin or whatever it is you want. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah. I had to get my dog or she was going to bark.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, I can have some of it and that's fine. It's just that kind of coming to terms that I'm not someone that can just sit down at night and be like, yeah, I'm just going to realistically plan this ice cream. You know, that doesn't, I mean, I want it. It doesn't change that I don't want it, but I want to lose weight more. And I want to work on this mentally. So
you're going to need to clean up that you're being deprived. You're either choosing it or you're not. And you're doing that now. You just think you're being deprived. You're either choosing these foods or you're not choosing these foods. That's all that's happening. And you telling yourself, it's not that I can't realistically plan. Your realistic plan supports getting off of drugs for your health. Realistically, this is what I need to be eating.
Yeah, I needed just to hear that from you. I mean, I want to live it. Like, I'll be like, I'm living this. I'm losing it. Like, I'm going to live it. I want to keep it real, you know, it is kind of that thing where it's like, hey, and I know there's other women in the tribe that feel, you know, where they're like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to plan spaghetti 3 nights a week, you know? So.
But this is the thing I want you to think about. I want you to think about, what can you be doing? Why do you need those foods? Why is that food so much more important than your long-term health? Like, those are the things I'd be asking myself. Like, you know, when you're sitting around thinking about it, it's like, it's not that I'm deprived. It's like, why do I think I need spaghetti 3 times a week more than I need to be off of diabetes medicine?
I don't know. I mean, I went to culinary school and I related to the person who was like, yeah, we would taste food all the time. And everyone said, oh, you're going to, you know, I was like, I'm going to gain so much weight in culinary school. And I actually lost it. Because I was so happy. And, we tasted food, but I come home and I wouldn't, you know, I just, my mind felt so stimulated. And
so are you happy?
In a lot of ways I am. And that's the conundrum I get in, because I have so many wonderful things in my life and I just get so frustrated with my weight. I mean, I'm at that, like, where my back hurts, my knees hurt. I don't feel good.
So why are you overeating?
I just feel like sometimes it's like, it's, you know, kind of that thing where it's just, it's a habit. It's, well, you know, I've talked to you about this a lot. It's a combination of over drinking and overeating.
Mm-hmm.
And I can be like solid all day. Great. and then I'll plan a couple glasses of wine. And it's like that the lower late, like the lower brain lizard kicks in, and it's like, who cares? You know, it's like, woo. And that's, so I'm currently doing your, the drinking course you have.
So why do you need to drink at night?
I've gotten really good. I don't drink a lot of times, like Sunday night through Thursday.
Okay.
My weekends are just a mess sometimes.
Well, why do you need to overdrink on the weekends?
I think I've just started associating it with fun. And I know that's like when I went through the modules and was listening to them, and it was like, I mean, what you said, I was like, oh my God, that is so me. It's like you're either living in the fantasy of who you could be, or you're escaping what you had. And it just, I mean, and it's like, yeah, I have stress just like everyone else. But I'm also convinced that my fat girl thinking, I was just saying this on the group, is like, she's like a bratty, snotty head princess that's walking around a crumbling castle, you know? And it's just, there's that part of me. It's like, I, you know, sometimes just doing what I want to do when I want to do it. It's like, it feels like being a kid, you know? And it's just, it's like, oh, I'm not adulting right now.
It's yeah, no, you're not. And you're preventing yourself from truly being able to do what you really want to do.
Yeah.
I think you need to like write about that. Like, I think you need to see. Are you doing your models?
Yes, I am.
Do your models on like, you know, your drinking and your thoughts about your drinking. Like do a lot of them. Like, I think it, you know, it makes me more fun. It makes me have fun.
Yeah.
And
it's like
feels entitled or, you know, carefree or whatever. And then you need to ask yourself, like, then why don't I feel carefree when I'm not drinking?
Yeah, it's like I feel that when I have drinks, it's like, oh, everything is fun. But, you know, it's like then I have another side of me where I'm quite introverted and I'm, you know, moody, and I don't want to share that with everyone all the time. I like having a bunch of friends, you know, and it's annoying.
Well, go have a bunch of friends and don't tell them that part of you. They're not entitled to know your gut.
Yeah.
I don't tell my friends half of the bullshit that goes on in my head. If they did, they'd probably quit being my friend.
I know. I mean, I know.
Why can't you just go? Like, this is what I would challenge you to do, Emily. Go. You go by Louise, don't you?
My name's Emily Louise. A lot of people call me Emmy Lou, but
Emmy Lou. Okay.
It's fine. I go by everything. It's fine. It's quite confusing.
Just do yourself a favor. Plan one time to go out and just not drink.
Okay.
And experience what it's like. And then come home and write about what it was truly like. Was it as bad as you thought? Was it not as fun? And don't blame the drinking. This is what we all want to do. We'll go and we will not drink. And we'll think, well, it's because I wasn't drinking. It's like, if you need to drink in order to have fun, then that's the problem. The problem is in either the people or you. And you'll think you're not having fun because of the thoughts you're having, like, I'm deprived, I can't have it, blah, blah, blah. That is just mind management. If that's all that's going on, then you know that you can have fun when you quit thinking those things. So you'll just have to do that a few times. This is the same with food. When we think we have to eat what everybody else is eating, the food is not what...
Hey, Corinne. Oh, you were breaking. All of a sudden...
I think it's your connection. The food is not what's making it fun. The drinking is not what's making it fun. The way you're internalizing it is what either makes it fun or not make it fun. And you need to find those thoughts. But I would like, for sure, I'd go out, I'd not drink one time, be very prepared to like tell yourself, it's not that it won't be fun. I want to just see what it will be like without my judgment, without my worry, without my obsessing of that I'm not drinking. Like, I'm literally going to go and just to see. Set yourself up so that you can see more of an experience and then write about it after that.
Okay, I'm gonna do it. Then I'm gonna send you something and ask Corinne about how it went.
Okay, that'll be good. And then here's the other thing. With your, I want you to work on the thoughts you want to have about not eating processed foods. I want you to say, these are the thoughts I want to be having about this. I owe it to myself. I want to get in okay. Special diets group. Are you in there?
I'm in there, but I haven't ever, I mean, I answer questions, but I don't post a lot or anything.
Get in there and post about your shit. Don't answer okay. Other people's questions. Post about Emmy Lou. All right. You're cutting in and out. So I'm going to take you down, answer a few questions and get out of here.
Can you hear me? My phone. Okay. Bye.
All right. I cut that one. Let me answer the last questions, guys. And then we're going to get out of here. Do you still use MCT oil in your coffee? I do. I use either MCT oil or I use cocoa butter. I mix it up all the time. Basically what I do is I do anywhere from like 1 to 2 tablespoons of any of the oils or the heavy whipping cream and stuff every day. It just depends on what flavor I like. It depends on if I'm going to be driving. It depends if I want to like pour. Just like, it's just a little bit of everything. I drink though, like 3 cups of coffee sometimes, but I've just about gotten to where I'm only doing 1 now. So I put all of it in 1 serving. I just had dinner. It was a half a baked potato with some turkey chili, very small portion, and I was full. But I took a few more bites while cleaning up. I know that's an obstacle. Otherwise, on plan, suggestions. Just note today, like, you need to tell yourself, I no longer eat when I'm done. And come up with a visualization of you finishing. Visualization is a powerful tool. Have a visualization of you finishing and throwing that away. Like, replay it in your brain a few times of you, like, finishing. Not eating it, but like actually just throwing it away. Let your brain practice ahead of time the result that you want, which is throwing food away. Let's see. I have 3 things I like to eat for lunch that are on plan and easy to get. I've started just writing down option 1 for meal planning, which refers to any of the 3 meals. It gives me flexibility to eat with my friends, but it feels like I'm not actually doing a real 24-hour plan. No, that's fine. You can totally do that. Should I level up to be more exact, or is this the level up because I'm more consistent like this? This, I think that's totally fine. You're being deliberate and conscious and you're writing it down and you know what it means. Does writing protein and vegetables count as a 24-hour plan? I think it's fine. If you want to dial it in a little more, you can. But as long as that's just what you're eating, you're doing fine. Can you talk about incorporating a binge into the realistic plan? I'm struggling with binges. We actually have a video already on that. It is called a planned overeat. If you'll go to video replays and look at Best of Corinne Rants, look for the planned overeat, and that is one of them. I'm actually considering doing an entire call like this for just binging. So y'all have to let me know if you want that. Going through some tough times dealing with grief of losing my father. Now my father-in-law is passing and I'm feeling so devastated. I wish I could eat to numb and I can't. Wish I could say hello to Corinne. Ashley, just know that's what's supposed to be happening. You're supposed to be feeling all of these things. You do not want to eat to numb this out. One, I would just tell myself, this is part of life. This is what love is all about. We can't love big without grieving big. That's just the price we pay to be able to love someone. And telling yourself that. But when you eat, that grief will come along with the disappointment in yourself that you ate through it. You do not want to set yourself up for that. Did you say that if I'm eating a planned snack when I'm not hungry, I should be doing a recovery worksheet? Yes. Planned snacks are like the plan triggers you to say, am I hungry or not? Because I have it on my plan. If you're not hungry and you're eating it, you're off plan or you're overeating, guys. We do not overeat just because it's on a plan. We're not planning to just be an overeater. We're still honoring that hunger scale. I'm wondering how to realistically plan when you have really big workouts, because when I train for Ironman, I have to actually eat before I'm hungry, if that makes sense. That is a whole different situation, and that is fine. If you're training for something like the Ironman, of course you're going to want to plan your fuel a little bit better. For sure, all of the fuel that's wrapped around big workouts and stuff, I don't think that's a problem at all. Extreme workouts like that, guys, this is called extreme workouts. An Ironman, for those who don't know, is like running a marathon on top of like, I think it's a 112-mile bike ride or something like that, with like a 2-point-something-mile swim. My girlfriend does Ironman. She's actually in the world championships right now in Spain, getting ready to compete in an Ironman distance for the United States. So I know all about this stuff because I talk to her every day. That is a different thing because your body, because when it's going through extremes like that, it can mess with your hunger signals. I would just plan. I do know that part of how I gained weight this last time was I continued to eat at home like I was training for the Ironman. Yeah, you want to like dial your nutrition in around your racing, and you need to be thinking, I'm going to be eating like an athlete, and athletes don't overeat. They appropriately fuel for what they do. How can the version of us who wants to lose weight get a say if those impulsive moments? Planning, that is the version of you. The conscious part of you is the version of you that wants to lose weight. If you have plans, guys, if you're breaking your plans, you are going to have to take your plans with you, get them out before you eat, and you have to look at them. You've got to do everything you can to turn on the conscious part of your brain. That also means making it very realistic. How do I add Logan to Marco Polo? You want to go to support@pnptribe.com if you will email Sadie. She is giving everyone who wants to talk to Logan a message. He has been steadily replying to his PNP ladies, as he likes to call them. All right, guys, that is it for the day. That was a good one. It's a little long, I grant you, but I think we got a lot of good meat out of this. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Like I said, I'm thinking about doing a call specifically on binge eating. If you guys think you want that, talk about it in the Facebook group, and the coaches are going to let me know. I've been really having a passion for that. So, and I like this format. So if this is something you guys like, every now and then we can pop a bonus call up and we can do something where it's just like, let's just rock and roll for 90 minutes and go for it on a specific topic. All right, guys, y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.